And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to a losing edition of the NBA Finals Warriors All 82 podcast. Warriors lose game one because Tim Kawakami and soon to be Marcus Thompson, they lost the fourth quarter 40-16, and to be honest, it was worse than that. It was 40-13 when Nemanja Bjelica, who hadn't played all game, hit a three with, I don't know, 20 seconds left or something like that. If he doesn't hit that three, a 40-13 fourth quarter in Chase Center to lose home court in game one.
Pummeling. It was a pummeling. And it's just interesting to see kind of the Warriors positioning, like how they like say this would happen. Oh, they played great for the first 42. It really wasn't the first 42, but I understand what they're doing. They're saying, listen, Derek White and Al Horford and Marcus Smart, they're not going to hit all those threes again. Maybe. But any time you get pummeled like that in the fourth quarter of a finals game, you did some things wrong. You didn't play good enough. You lost some focus. I think they got shook a little bit, although they clearly did not want to say that. I think, you do this at home. Like, what, we were destroying the Suns for losing Game 7 badly two rounds ago. This was not good for the Warriors. It's not the same thing. It wasn't a Game 7, but it was their home court, and they just got, they just got vacuumed. They just go whoosh. And there's some reasons for that. Defensively, they weren't great. And offensively, we didn't talk about offensively. They scored 16. They scored 13 until Nemanja Bjelica, heroically hit that three. They had a lot of issues. A lot of issues.
I believe there was a 0-point stretch from six something to one something in the fourth quarter. As they're getting threes raining on their head on the other end. Yeah, that's a formula to lose.
Even when you start the fourth quarter up 12. And that was, the non-Steph minutes. I'm sure we'll talk about this more when Marcus gets here. But, starts with the non-Steph minutes. But he comes back in after a 7-0
run. They're up 5 when he comes in with 9 minutes left.
This is not the panic time. You still are up 5, a couple baskets, and you get it up to 10. And this is what we've seen normally. And they just could not get the ball in the basket. And they, Al Horford, boom. Derek White, boom. Peyton Pritchard, boom. The point is, if you're a good defense, you do not allow runs like that. And they allowed it, and then they just seemed to freeze up on offense and couldn't match any of it. It was something that would be, disturbing if it happened in the regular season. This was obviously very, very, very disturbing for them. One game, they're right, it's one game, it's not four. But at home in a finals game, when Jason Tatum is 3-for-17, these are problematic things for the Warriors right now.
What did you write about?
I wrote about, which won't be posted, I guess, till tomorrow morning, so about when this thing posts, about the Warriors clearly kind of coming up with talking points, clearly kind of rallying themselves. Kerr, I saw that Kerr kind of went down the line when he took the starters out and gave him a fist bump and encouraging words, and you could just tell they had that. It's one loss, not four. It's Derek White and Al Horford and Marcus Smart. It wasn't, these guys probably aren't going to do that again. You could just tell, they are kind of booing their confidence that this isn't going to be the crushing blow. It could be. I'm saying it's possible it was, but it just, this is who they are. They can't say, man, that was a better team than us. They can't say that, because once you say that, you're going to lose the series. Boston might be better than them. I think we all kind of went into this thinking there's a chance Boston's better, but tonight was a pretty stunning blow. So my was just the way they rally themselves, the way they collect themselves. This is the Curry, Draymond, Clay, Kerr era, and we saw it tonight. You can call it bravado, you can call it whistling past the grave, you can say it's not really accepting the reality of what happened, But by accepting the if you accept the reality of it, then you're going to lose the series. They have to like almost willfully black it out and say, no, it was just these dumb little things and we're going to be better. Just kind of the state of the team.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, like game ones can turn series. I think we've seen one game one this playoff turn a series when the Warriors won in Memphis. Yep. And, you know, if you are the Grizzlies, you still responded in game two. You still, you know, absorbed the Ja Morant injury and pushed the Warriors and had the game five. And then, you know, even in game six, narrowly, you know, brought it back to Memphis. But when that ended and when we were, you know, recapping the entire series and looking back, you go, no, it was game one that turned
it. With Draymond getting ejected in the first half. Like, it's the same thing, like, with Jason Tatum going 3-for-17. How many times has Jason Tatum go 3-for-17 in this series? Probably not again. So, like, you can just say, like, this is when we start figuring it out down the road, how this all went the Celtics' way, possibly. We're going to say game one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I wrote about the threes, and as you mentioned, their talking points post-game was like, you know, tip the hat, unsustainable. You know, look who are the guys that hit it. Draymond was like asking me the math. Like, let's do it here. 8 plus 7 plus 8. That's 23 on 23 attempts. Marcus Smart, Derek Wyden, Robert Williams made 15. But Draymond Green was at fault for a lot of it. He had a, you know, and this is rare to say, he had a bad defensive night. He early in the game, the first Marcus Smart 3 and the first Al Horford 3. I'll start with the Marcus Smart one. He picks up Marcus Smart in transition. Marcus Smart passes it over to Jason Tatum. He just goes, like, basically 1 foot in the paint while Marcus Smart is sitting on the left wing. Jason Tatum is, like, he's not, you know, having to leap over and help because Jason Tatum has beaten anybody. Jason Tatum is just standing there, like, getting a high screen, you know, against Looney and Wiggins, who are not in, like, vulnerable positions. And he just looks over at Marcus Smart, wide open for three because Draymond's way off of him. Passes over, wide, you know, hits a three. That gets Marcus Smart going. A couple possessions later, same type of deal. You know, Tatum's coming off a high screen. He's not, you know, he has not beat Wiggins. He has not beat Looney into the paint where Draymond has to come over. Draymond is just sitting there watching it, knowing, yes, like, Jason Tatum is threatening. But he's sitting there watching it, and you know, Tatum just passes over to Al Horford, and he doesn't even close out. He just sits there and watches Al Horford from 12 feet away and goes, it's basically, you know, dare you to shoot a three, kind of like they did to Ja Morant. And these aren't Smart, maybe you can make the argument. Al Horford is shooting 46% from three in the playoffs.
He's been great in the playoffs.
He's, like, deadly. And, you know, what's interesting to me, and I wrote about it, like, you know, this idea, when they played Dallas, it was like, you know, if he was on Maxi Kleba, like, it was like, scouting report says, do not leave Maxi Kleba. Al Horford's a better shooter than Maxi Kleba. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe it's just because, you know, Boston's attack is different and it is in Doncic and this obsession with the threes that's always being hammered into their brains. But I just think, and this is what I wrote, that they, starting with their defensive leader, were way too casual guarding the three tonight.
You know, like, you can just bring it back to, like, Dallas. Like, you know, there were a couple Dallas players that they were begging to shoot. And not all of them, but a couple of them. And it kind of, I think it just kind of connected it to this. And wait a minute, it was Al Horford. And that wasn't great. I could see some adjustments coming. You know, what do they always, like, they try to put Draymond into the mix, right? Instead of not
this
covering.
Wrote,
yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I wrote? And I've actually already even talked to some people about it. Draymond on Jaylen Brown, because it gets him. You know this from his past. Stretch bigs are kryptonite for him because, you know, there's one play where Jason Tatum drives baseline and he goes and does one of his, like, this is kind of crazy kamikaze doubles that sometimes he'll get a tip, sometimes he won't. But Al Horford's just sitting there in the corner. Thank you. Yep. Like, wide open for three.
You could put Clay on Al Horford, right?
That's the other part of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're playing him like a big, I was almost thinking put Draymond on Jason Tatum and put Wiggins on Horford. You can do
Wiggins
some
on,
version
no, I'd
of
say
that.
Wiggins on Brown. You got to have Wiggins on one of those.
Put Wiggins, and then Clay again on Al Horford. Yeah. You know, I mean, they could do some things. Like, they do talk about it. Like, they like to put Draymond, like, put Draymond on Brunson in the last series.
Yes.
You could put him on a ball handler so he's not coming off. In an old New Orleans series, they would not put him on Freaking Milicic, right? Yeah, like he was gonna hit three.
Yeah, Mirotić.
Mirotić, not Darko Milicic. Yeah, you would really not put him on Darko. Because he was going to be too tempted to come off the shooter because he wants to help out. He wants to help with the playmakers. Put him on Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. Put him in the mix. Now, he might get foul trouble. Who knows? But I think that might be one of the moves. I think there's several moves that are coming in game two. I think that's one of them. Put him into the mix against a ball handler, not just a stretch.
Yeah,
big.
I agree. It's Jaylen Brown. We're just talking about, you know, some of the threes that particularly – you know, Marcus is joining us, particularly that Draymond just gave up to Al Horford, like, because he's just strayed too far off or was just too casual about it. But I just think it was a mistake for them to have him on Al Horford. You know his history. Like, Draymond shouldn't guard stretch pigs like this.
Yeah, I think generally, though, like, I think it's the whole team philosophy is the flaw. And I think that was true against Dallas, and Dallas just couldn't burn them. They just overreact to drives. They just really do. Derek White got some open threes. Like, Marcus Smart was getting all he wanted. You just can't. Like, Jason Tatum is driving with no real intention to do anything but pass. It was kind of like Luka. And they're overreacting, and he's hitting it in a swing. They just got to stay home. This is what happens when you don't have a rim protector. But to me, just their whole philosophy of you can get out and cover. When you close the paint off, get out and cover. I just don't think that works. I guess it's worked this far, but they work. But I do think the problem is Boston has the shooters on the court, and the Warriors just can't go back and match that. When they're hot from three, they can't go back and match that. They've got to shut off the threes. Whereas Dallas is like, all right. We can go down. We can match it, right? We can figure out a way to get, you know, if it's going to be 120, 120, 118, all right, we can do that. Boston has the ability to say, all right, if we're hitting threes, we're also going to take away some of your offense. And that's where it's difficult. So, to me, they just got to stop overreacting on the drives. If Tatum's going to get 40 on twos, let him get 40 on twos.
Yeah, like, you know, it's easy to explain the difference between Boston and Dallas at this point. Dallas hit 21 threes in this building in a game and lost. Boston will not hit 21 threes and lose a game. Like, the Warriors cannot give up. You're not surviving that game.
Unless the Warriors make 26 threes or some crazy thing.
But
yeah.
Just and that, they're not going to against this team. They could against Dallas. Yeah.
Boston's not going to let you do that. And even before when it was like, all right, will tool you to death, right? Our offense is so good in the half court and inside the paint. We'll just be so efficient on twos that we will offset your threes and eventually you'll get cool. They can't do that against Boston either. I mean, I think they lost the points in the paint battle tonight. So they just can't give up that many threes. And it's been a problem all postseason. Not the teams are making threes, but that they get them. It's over 300 wide-open threes they've given up in these playoffs. To me, it just begins with the philosophy of protect the paint and then get out. It's got to be the reverse. Everybody else plays the reverse against the Warriors. It's like take away the threes and make them drive twos. And look what happens. They need to switch to that and stop packing the paint, diving in, and then hustling out. It just ain't going to work.
Part of that is a switch, though, too, right? I mean, although Boston switches and they manage to cover, but the Warriors go switch, and then they're kind of jumbled up, and they feel like they have to help. They feel like it's like, oh, we got a mismatch, so we all have to help out, which is, you know, respectable, and it has worked, but it also tends to give up threes that are just a little bit too easy, and it can open yourself up to getting buried like this. I think the Warriors in some point saying, you know what, we do give them up, but Derek White's going to go 1-for-7 next time, and Al Horford's probably going to go 2-for-6, and you know Marcus Smart might go 1-for-9, but it does leave you open for this. It does expose you to this, and it happened. You know, and can you imagine in Boston? Like in Boston, they're going to do it one more time in Boston.
By the way, Celtics now 8-2 on the road, but they've lost 4 home games in the last 2 series. So I don't know. it's going to be very difficult to win in Boston, but
I think it's
teams have been winning in Boston. Jimmy Butler just dropped 46 in Boston in a game six.
This series isn't over. I mean, again, it's one game, but it kind of feels sometimes like one home lose game one, but it isn't over. Warriors did, like, I'm going to say some of their talking points, but they're true. Like, they did play very well for three quarters. Steph did get loose.
Very well for two quarters.
The first and the third. The second and the fourth, they played
better. You get a 12-point lead. You still get a 12-point lead.
They were really good in the third quarter. They weren't good in the second quarter.
And the first. So, wait a minute. What could be a solution to not being so bad in the second and fourth quarters, Marcus Thompson? What could be a solution then?
It's time. I mean, well, Steph said it, right? Put Steph on the court for 45 minutes. Just book him for at least 40. I mean, if you think about it, tonight, like, they're up 12 entering the fourth, and they probably should have been up more. But they're up 12 entering the fourth. Boston responds with Tatum, Robert Williams, Jaylen Brown. They're down 12. They're like, let's go for it. You just can't not – you can't go, all right, Iguodala, Draymond.
So, I mean, but –
not anymore.
I mean, Steph only sat 2.5 minutes. Like, they did put rush him back in.
But that was the game, though. At that point, that was the game.
It was the game.
It was still a 5-point game, though. I mean, like, you can't – at some point, you got to guard. You can't just say, okay, we can't rest for 2 minutes. Now, unless you're just going to play him the second half straight, right? You're just going to play him all the way through the second
half. I would have been critical if he didn't go back to Steph when he did, but I thought that wasn't, like, somewhat urgent.
I think it's different than the minutes. So I'm writing about this. It's not just that he wasn't on the court. It's when he is not attacking and aggressive, they can't score against Boston. It's not like, okay, Steph, stand in the corner and everybody's. They can't do that. They need him on the court attacking and aggressive. And because he sat out, because he lost the rhythm, second quarter happened. He took two shots in the second quarter, 22 points, right? Fourth quarter, he's not on the court. He doesn't take his first shot until 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. Like 7 points. You can't just have the, okay, we'll get him in and we'll run everybody. You cannot do that against Boston.
If Jordan Poole's any good.
But
right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, this ain't a Poole. Like,
this series, I agree with you.
You just can't do that against this team. Like, Poole can't create against this team, especially with Robert Williams in the lane. You just cut that out. Jaylen Brown is really playing well against Clay. He's pushing them way out, and they're forcing Clay to dribble to create a shot. We all know that that's bad. And who else can create a shot?
Wiggins
wasn't in the game.
Well,
that's what I'm just saying. You can't say, all right, Steph, chill out. Even when he's on the court, chill out. These other guys are going to do it. Boston is just too good defensively, especially when they have their starters in.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box, and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I want to talk about that end. I thought it was a weird night for Boston defensively. They, on Steph, were as bad as I've seen any defense, like, all season almost in the first quarter, where it was, like, transition. They were, like, backing away from Steph like it was, like, you know, Kyle Lowry or something. Maybe it was because of who they played. But, I mean, like, when's the last time you saw Steph get, what, 5 wide-open threes in one quarter? I mean, like, it's even
– with Marcus Smart on him. Yeah, that was, like – this is not how it ever happens when Marcus Smart
like,
is on him.
Well, it was like drop coverage with the bigs and like, you know, mix-ups. There was one point where there was like, you know how usually Steph will do an off-ball screen and two guys will go with him and suddenly it's a JTA, a whoever cutting. Steph did an off-ball screen and the two defenders went with the other guy. And it was like, what? Usually it's completely the other way around. He popped out. He was like, cool, you know. Anyway, so I was like, whoa, like this is a crazy amount of errors on Steph. And, you know, maybe you just need a quarter to correct, you know, facing him. But the rest of the game, I mean, the other flip side, I'd say, some of the best defensive possessions I've seen from, like, you know, second 24 to second 0 on the shot clock, including, you know, the Warriors are having trouble finding what they want when Kevon Looney's taking an 18-footer. Draymond Green's taking, what, 4 threes. Andre Iguodala took, like, 3 jumpers tonight. He taking fadeaways on Peyton Pritchard. There was just so many possessions where you're just like – the Warriors don't want this. They're just forced into it by them.
Yeah, this is like a better version of that Memphis defense when Ja went out, where it's like you got the pressure on the perimeter. You see they had the possessions where it's like they're doing the dribble handoff 3 or 4 times, trying to get a look. Like, all right, go back. Oh, they cut that. Go back. Do it again. Because they're just so good on the perimeter. But then when you drive – you got a time lure waiting for you, right?
He looked better than I thought he was going to look.
I thought he looked a little slow early, but then he got going, and maybe he just had to loosen up a little bit. But the Warriors were thinking about him. I mean, you could just tell they take 2 dribbles and go, oh, wait a minute now, what am I going to do? And he had 3 block shots. One of them was on a Steph 3-pointer. Like that's a, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. like performance, or maybe even a little better. He's probably a little better right at the rim. And it affects the Warriors. Like, they can't get that stuff to the basket that they got against Dallas the whole series. They're just, it's just not there against the team. And Horford is not small either. Like, Horford is a problem. Like, these are all things they knew going in. These are all problems that a team like Boston gives to them. But the problem that Boston gives to them on the other side is that's the combo. It's both things. They give them the defense, and they can hit them with a whole different things. And again, I keep saying it, what if Jason Tatum goes 12 for 17. Like, yeah, this
to me,
you're okay with that.
Like, yeah, he was 3 for 17. Why not make him go 12 for 17? Like, if he goes 12 for 17, that hurts you less than Derek White and Al Horford hitting
more than the 17. How about 12 for like 27?
Yeah,
or something,
yeah. Instead of the 13 assists where he's driving, you're overacting, you're kicking, like, they're killing you. That's way more damaging than if he took 25 shots and made 12 of them. Like, if he gets to the free throw line.
In a playoff game, I mean, like, the guy can go for 40, 44, 46, but
I just don't think 40 hurts him.
Well, like, get, you know, Ja Morant went for 40, whatever, and in the losses, Luka. Luka regularly was going for 40. Yeah.
It's his 40 means you don't get 24 from Jaylen Brown and 26 from Al Horford and another, what, how 20 about, from Derek White.
Yeah, the 21 from Derek White is just...
That's what's killing
you. Like, 3 straight games for Derek White. I mean, you know, like, I don't know they can just say, hey, he won't do that. Like, he's done it for several huge games in a row now. So maybe they got to think, like, okay, we got to make sure we stay on this guy. Like, he's not one of those guys you can just let shoot. And he's shooting with confidence. Horford, obviously, as we said, is shooting with confidence all postseason. Draymond mentioned, though, like, you know, they've got those guys who put pressure on the rim. I think they are worried about Robert Williams' lobs. You know, there was a lob.
You're good.
No, you're bumping me here. There's a lob that Draymond, like, that had the easy lob to Williams, and Draymond's yelling at Jordan Poole afterwards. Like they're concerned about that. So that's another reason why they're collapsing. They don't want to give those up. But those are not; those are less hurtful than the threes, that's for sure. Like, I mean, the threes were the ones that killed them. The threes that beat them tonight. So there are going to be some adjustments there. My question, as I brought up briefly, like, what do you do with Jordan Poole? Do you just assume that this is going to be a tough series for him, or do you try to make sure that you try to get him? I don't know that you can go with just Steph 45 minutes a game for six more games. I don't know that you can do that.
You can do it for two and three because there's days off in between. But I think you one thing you cannot do. Just put him on the court with Andre and Draymond. You can't do that.
Put like, Poole on the
Poole,
court.
Yeah, you can't with two non-shooters. Yeah. They're just sagging off, and he's already having a hard enough time driving against physical pressure. Like you can't do that and expect him to go create offense.
So Andre had some like nice moments. He hit a couple of these jumpers I was talking about that were clearly like bailout.
Yeah,
it really was, but. Should he be in the rotation? I mean, it seems like a blasphemous question to ask, but he hasn't played in weeks. Obviously, he's probably days away from retirement. No, I mean, maybe he's not. He hasn't announced. But, yeah, I mean, we all know this is like, you know, and there's good options on the bench. You know, Moody's been pretty good. Gary Payton II probably will show up.
I don't know that Gary Payton's going to play in the series. He's not. I do not see him ever shooting with his left hand. And, like, in warm-ups, this might be a little bit of a feint or just hope, like, or maybe, like, he can give you 2 minutes of defense. I don't think he can shoot. I don't know that he can dribble with his left hand. So this might be a little bit, a lot of talk about Gary Payton II, and he might not make it back there. Maybe later. I just don't think he was playable tonight.
Why would they clear him if he can't do any of that?
Maybe they want Boston to think something, or maybe, like, okay, if we need him for one possession of defense, we can go. Remember, that was what it used to be, like, one possession of defense. I don't think he can use his left arm to play offense.
I had been getting the impression that tonight he wasn't going to play, but two. Like, they were talking. Well, there's been some behind-the-scenes buzz that,
off,
like...
There are 2 days off.
There's been some behind-the-scenes buzz that, like, lose, two is his debut.
And they don't lose anything by saying he's cleared and not playing him. What do you... Like, you don't lose a roster spot. They're all playing. They're all... Everybody on the roster is everybody on the roster. So, I think maybe they got a little too tricky for their own good. When a guy will not shoot the ball... in warm-ups left-handed, and he is left-handed, my sense is he's not playing. That's just like that. Just he's rebounding during warm-ups. He's not even going to shoot jumpers. So maybe with two more days off he can play, but I think he's going to be very limited. I thought Andre might be limited just because we've just kind of can't count Andre's in play. But I think Andre has to play if Payton isn't playing. You need one more wing defender.
Well,
or Moody or Kuminga, I guess, could be the guys. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, they need to put somebody on Jaylen fourth quarters because.
How about Draymond Green?
He's always super. So what I was going to say was maybe they need to pair Steph's minutes with Draymond. Instead, of, like, you put him in that second unit, and now you have – if you got to play Iguodala, right, instead maybe you swap him and Looney. Because at least Looney give you some offensive rebounding.
Yeah, but then, I mean,
now you're playing this guy 45 minutes.
Well, no.
But where's the last offensive rebound you've seen Draymond grab and put back?
Yes, but your pool problem remains of, like, Looney and Iguodala out there with Poole.
I'm just saying you're not getting, like, with them two, you're getting.
You're like, when Jordan Poole shoots the three off the top right of the backboard, Looney chases it down and gives it back to him, at least.
At least you get
it. He gets those, Listen,
he had some huge offensive rebounds tonight, by the way. And the Loon chants are growing here.
He's just a good player. Like, he's literally a good player. Without him, you know, like Kerr says about Wiggins, so they would not be here without Looney, and they would have no chance in this series without Looney. He is offensively challenged in this series, right? It's a little different trying to score over these guys when you get the dump off from Steph than it was over Kleber and Dwight Powell. But they absolutely need him to get those rebounds. You saw it when they went small, like they weren't getting any rebounds, and he had to put Looney back in. It's interesting, a Porter game, by the way. Otto Porter, huge. Like, been so important this postseason. Goes four for his first four and threes. And he's a minus 18 in the game. Maybe that was just because he was in a bad stretch, but that was weird. That like, it wasn't more positive for them when he was obviously seemed like he was playing very well. Maybe some of those defensive breakdowns were just like him and Poole, because Poole was minus 19. But I did not see him as, you know, sometimes plus minus it isn't fair, and I'm the first one to say that. But that was weird. I think game two might be 45 minutes of Steph, 45 minutes of Draymond, 42 minutes of Wiggins, and 38 minutes of Looney. I really do. I mean, that might be where they're at. They got to win that game. They got to play like a game seven almost.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else, I guess, like, I don't know, rotationally or notes from the night?
I mean, could you guys see Kuminga getting some minutes? I mean, it's crazy to say it's a game seven.
I think Moody's more likely.
But Moody, I mean, he's a Jaylen Brown, you know, same kind of athlete, right? I can just stick him on Jaylen Brown and see what happens. Or he could even play Horford. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying is you might put a smaller player on Horford.
I think, to me, the easy fix is it is what we've talked about, which is Draymond on Jaylen, because, like, Klay Thompson on Horford, like, what, post up Al Horford, sure.
Yep.
Like, post Klay Thompson up, yeah, Al Horford.
Absolutely. Put somebody on him and say, hey, go post him up. That's better than threes.
Yeah. So, to me, like, yeah, I mean, like, certainly not Draymond. I mean, yeah,
that just didn't work. But that's where they, you know, they do, you know, give you some trouble, because most teams don't play two bigs at a time. They play the two bigs. They're both interesting bigs. They pressure you in different ways. And it kind of, like, okay, we can't put Steph on them. And we can't, you know, like, you could see them kind of rifling through their options. But I do think Draymond on a playmaker and Klay on a big is the way they're going to go. It just solves so many things, and then you ride it out. You ride out those guys, and you see how much minutes they can give you. And if you wear them out in games two and three, you needed them to win. You need to win games two and three and four, whatever. You need to win those games, and then you see what you got in games five, six, and seven. It might be whoever runs out of gas first, but I cannot argue with the idea that Steph should play 42 to 45 minutes. I cannot argue with that.
Finals crowd, first time this arena's hosted the finals. Man, it's just, you forget how much media there suddenly is, you know, gets injected into the scene from the conference finals to the NBA finals.
Executives, oh my God, how many NBA executives are walking around? It's, well, because the commissioner, right? I mean, yeah. They had all that thing going, but. A Chase Center is a tight squeeze for this stuff. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with you. It is a tight squeeze to get everybody in here. The corridors are tight. You know, it just is a tricky thing to wedge everybody in there. I don't know that they did it very successfully in this game. They have another game to figure it out and possibly another one, but it's a little tight tonight.
What did you think overall?
I thought it was cool. I mean, remember last time, 6 o'clock start, they were struggling to get here. It was pretty lit at tip. They were like, they were ready. They were right at tip.
Like, it wasn't before.
Yeah, nah.
And then it gets a tip, and then it got loud. Now, it was pretty loud. And it was, I thought there'd be more Celtics fans, and you didn't really hear the Celtics fans until the end, and then you heard them. But I thought the Warriors fans were loud. They came strong. They paid $1,800 a piece for the ticket.
You pay all that money, you showing up on time.
They also wore their this was a crowd that wore the shirts more than I think any of the other crowds. It just did seem like, I don't know, the city and this crowd viewed this much as like a much bigger event than the conference finals, which, you know, obviously it is a level up, but, like, you know, to me it was like round 1 to round 2, round 2 to round 3 were like incremental little jumps, whereas this felt like a massive jump from just like what the moment felt like, what the event felt like.
Let's see what game 2 feels like now. But yeah, game 1
anxious,
which is sometimes the best crowds. Yeah. Like, that's like, When I covered the Lakers, when the crowd thought they were going to win, it was blah. When they were worried about it, they got loud. And be very curious to see how game 2 is. And if it's antsy loud, antsy quiet, you know, they feel pressure, it's a tension. That I'm curious about. I expect them to win game 2. I'll just say right now, I expect them to win game 2. I don't know about the series, but I expect them to win game 2, go to Boston 1-1. If they go to Boston down 0-2, it will be not a good situation for your Golden State Warriors, fellas. It will not be a good situation.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sorry, I just want to do the dropkick Murphys.
The last time the Warriors lost game 1 at home in the series?
I know.
2016 against OKC. They came back and won game 2 by 27. And then they didn't fare so well in games 3 and 4 in OKC. But they won that series. So, It's great that this
they've never gone down 2-0 in the Steve Kerr era. Never. Because the only other game 1 they lost was 2019 Toronto. And they.
That was the one.
That
on
game
the
road. 2 and they won, in and they won Toronto. Game 2. Yeah, they was won game insane. Two. Yeah, they I won remember game two. That. That Toronto series. By the way, that game 2 in Toronto was DeMarcus Cousins. But that series was insane.
Now you forgot about that. Yeah.
You know what though? The one thing I would say, like, Boston series have been so weird. If you go back to them,
they look incredible, and then they look terrible.
Yeah. Remember the Miami series? It was blowout win, blowout loss, blowout win, blowout loss. And you know they lost a a bad game 3 at home. They lost a closeout game 6 at home to Miami. They lost a closeout game 6 to Milwaukee, and then went on the road and won game 7 just like they did in Miami. So, like, yeah, I think what we'll probably all come to learn more as the series goes on is how unpredictable Boston is. And I think you get that from the people that have been around that team. It's like, just because you got that tonight does not mean you're getting that necessarily, you know. And home road doesn't even really matter.
For both sides, right? I mean, well, it meant something to the Warriors until tonight when they were 9-0 at home. But Boston's so good on the road in this postseason. The Warriors are obviously historically incredible on the road. It's fated to be 1-1, and I think it's going to be fated to be 2-2 coming back here for Game 5. That's extending it way off in the distance. It just feels like it's going to be 2-2 coming back here. It just feels like the Warriors are going to get one there. The Celtics got their one here. The Warriors are going to win Game 2. It just feels like that kind of series. And then we come back here for Game 5. I skipped way ahead, everybody, but that's the way I feel.
Before tonight, if you would have said 2-2 coming back here, that might sound dangerous for the Warriors. Right now, they would love 2-2 coming back here at this point.
My God. And... you know, they take 2-2 with a blowout in Game 4. If they can get it. Like, this is just, they're gonna suffer through some tough spells against this Boston team, because this Boston team is good, and you just try to survive it and ride it back and try to get a Game 5 here or 2-2. That's what I think.
All right, we will talk to you from Game 2 Sunday, I believe 5 p.m. tip, which is gonna be nice Sunday night. Talk to you then.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.